fuzz and was waiting to get the electric chair since he wouldn't tell where I was. Maybe Dally had been killed in a car wreck or something, and no one would ever know where I was, and I'd just die up here alone and turn into a skeleton. My overactive imagination was running away with me again. Sweat ran down my face and back, and I was trembling. My head swam, and I leaned back and closed my eyes. I guess it was partly delayed shock. Finally, my stomach calmed down, and I relaxed a little, hoping that Johnny would remember cigarettes. I was scared sitting there by myself. I heard someone coming up through the dead leaves toward the back of the church, and I ducked inside the door. Then I heard a whistle, long and low, ending in a sudden high note. I knew that whistle well enough. It was used by us and the Shepherd Gang for, "Who's there?" I returned it carefully, then darted out the door so fast that I fell off the steps and sprawled flat under Johnny's nose. I propped myself on my elbows and grinned up at him. "Hey, Johnny, fancy meeting you here." He looked down at me over a big package. "I swear, Pony Boy, you're getting to act more like Two-Bit every day." I tried unsuccessfully to cock an eyebrow. "Who's acting?" I rolled over and sprang up, happy that someone was there. "What'd you get?" "Come on inside. Dally told us to stay inside." We went in. Johnny dusted off a table with his jacket and started taking things out of the sack and lining them up neatly. "A week's supply of bologna, 2 loaves of bread, a box of matches," Johnny went on. I got tired of watching him do it all, so I started digging into the sack myself. "Whee!" I sat down on a dusty chair and stared. "A paperback copy of Gone with the Wind. How'd you know I always wanted one?" Johnny reddened. "I remember you saying something about it once, and me and you went to see that movie, remember? I thought you could maybe read it out loud and help kill time or something." "Gee, thanks." I put the book down reluctantly. I wanted to start it right then. "Peroxide? A deck of cards?" Suddenly I realized something. "Johnny, you ain't thinking of..." Johnny sat down and pulled out his knife. "We're going to cut our hair, and you're going to bleach yours." He looked at the ground carefully. "They'll have our descriptions in the paper. We can't fit them." "Oh, no." My hand flew to my hair. "No, Johnny, not my hair." It was my pride. It was long and silky, just like Soda's, only a little redder. Our hair was tough. We didn't have to use much grease on it. Our hair labeled us greasers, too. It was our trademark, the one thing we were proud of. Maybe we couldn't have Corvairs or Madras shirts, but we could have hair. We'd have to anyway if we got caught. You know the first thing the judge does is make you get a haircut. "I don't see why," I said sourly. "Dally could just as easily mug somebody with short hair." "I don't know either. It's just a way of trying to break us. They can't do anything to guys like Curly Shepherd or Tim. They've had about everything done to them. And they can't take anything away from them because they don't have anything in the first place. So they cut their hair." I looked at Johnny imploringly. Johnny sighed. "I'm going to cut mine too and wash the grease out. But I can't bleach it. I'm too dark-skinned to look okay blonde." "Oh, come on, Pony Boy," he pleaded. "It'll grow back." "Okay," I said wide-eyed. "Get it over with." Johnny flipped out the razor edge of his switch, took hold of my hair, and started sawing on it. I shuddered. "Not too short," I begged. "Johnny, please." Finally, it was over with. My hair looked funny, scattered over the floor in tufts. "It's lighter than I thought it was," I said, examining it. "Can I see what I look like now?"
"No,"
Johnny said slowly, staring at me. "We gotta bleach it first." After I'd sat in the sun for 15 minutes to dry the bleach, Johnny let me look in the old cracked mirror we'd found in a closet. I did a double take. My hair was even lighter than Soda Pop's. I'd never combed it to the side like that. It just didn't look like me. It made me look younger, and scareder, too. Boy, howdy, I thought. This really makes me look tough. I look like a blasted pansy. I was miserable. Johnny handed me the knife. He looked scared, too. Cut the front and thin out the rest. I'll comb it back after I wash it. Johnny, I said tiredly, you can't wash your hair in that freezing water in this weather. You'll get a cold. He only shrugged. Go ahead and cut it. I did the best I could. He went ahead and washed it anyway, using the bar of soap he'd bought. I was glad I had had to run away with him instead of with Two-Bit or Steve or Dally. That would be one thing they'd never think of, soap. I gave him Dally's jacket to wrap up in, and he sat shivering in the sunlight on the back steps, leaning against the door, combing his hair back. It was the first time I could see that he had eyebrows. He didn't look like Johnny. His forehead was whiter where his bangs had been. It would have been funny if we hadn't been so scared. He was still shivering with cold. I guess, he said weakly, I guess we're disguised. I leaned back next to him sullenly. I guess so. Oh, shoot, Johnny said with fake cheerfulness. It's just hair. Shoot nothing, I snapped. It took me a long time to get that hair just the way I wanted it. And besides, this just ain't us. It's like being in a Halloween costume we can't get out of. Well, we got to get used to it, Johnny said with finality. We're in big trouble, and it's our looks or us. I started eating a candy bar. I'm still tired, I said. To my surprise, the ground blurred, and I felt tears running down my cheeks. I brushed them off hurriedly. Johnny looked as miserable as I felt. I'm sorry I cut your hair off, Pony Boy. Oh, it ain't that, I said between bites of chocolate. I mean, not all of it. I'm just a little spooky. I really don't know what's the matter. I'm just mixed up. I know, Johnny said through chattering teeth as we went inside. Things have been happening so fast. I put my arm across his shoulders to warm him up. Two-Bit should have been in that little one-horse store. Man, we're in the middle of nowhere. The nearest house is 2 miles away. Things were laying out wide open, just waiting for somebody slick like Two-Bit to come and pick 'em up. He could have walked out with half the store. He leaned back beside me, and I could feel him trembling. Good old Two-Bit, he said in a quavering voice. He must have been as homesick as I was. Remember how he was wisecracking last night? I said. Last night. Just last night we were walking Cherry and Marcia over to Two-Bit's. Just last night we were laying in the lot looking up at the stars and dreaming. Stop it, Johnny gasped from between clenched teeth. Shut up about last night. I killed a kid last night. He couldn't have been over 17 or 18, and I killed him. How'd you like to live with that? He was crying. I held him like Soda had held him the day we found him lying in the lot. I didn't mean to, he finally blurted out. But they were drowning you, and I was so scared. He was quiet for a minute. There sure is a lot of blood in people. He got up suddenly and began pacing back and forth, slapping his pockets. What are we going to do? I was crying by then. It was getting dark, and I was cold and lonesome. I closed my eyes and leaned my head back, but the tears came anyway. This is my fault, Johnny said in a miserable voice. He had stopped crying when I started, for bringing a little 13-year-old kid along. You ought to go home. You can't get into any trouble. You didn't kill him. No, I screamed at him. I'm 14. I've been 14 for a month, and I'm in it as much as you are. I'll stop crying in a minute. I can't help it. He slumped down beside me. I didn't mean it like that, Pony Boy. Don't cry, Pony. We'll be okay. Don't cry. I leaned against him and bawled until I went to sleep. I woke up late that night. Johnny was resting against the wall, and I was asleep on his shoulder. Johnny? I yawned. You awake? I was warm and sleepy. Yeah, he said quietly. We ain't gonna cry no more, are we? Nope. We're all cried out now. We're getting used to the idea. We're gonna be okay now. That's what I thought, I said drowsily. Then, for the first time since Dally and I had sat down behind those girls at the nightly double, I relaxed. We could take whatever was coming now. The next 4 or 5 days were the longest days I've ever spent in my life. We killed time by reading Gone with the Wind and playing poker. Johnny sure did like that book, although he didn't know anything about the Civil War, and even less about plantations, and I had to explain a lot of it to him. It amazed me how Johnny could get more meaning out of some of the stuff in there than I could. I was supposed to be the deep one. Johnny had failed a year in school and never made good grades. He couldn't grasp anything that was shoved at him too fast, and I guess his teachers thought he was just plain dumb. But he wasn't. He was just a little slow to get things, and he liked to explore things once he did get them. He was especially stuck on the Southern gentlemen, impressed with their manners and charm. I bet they were cool old guys, he said, his eyes glowing, after I had read the part about them riding into certain death because they were gallant. They remind me of Dally. Dally, I said, startled. Shoot, he ain't got any more manners than I do. And you saw how he treated those girls the other night. Soda's more like them Southern boys. Yeah, in the manners bit and the charm, too, I guess, Johnny said slowly. But one night, I saw Dally getting picked up by the fuzz, and he kept real cool and calm the whole time. They was getting him for breaking out the windows in the school building, and it was Two-Bit who did that, and Dally knew it. But he just took the sentence without batting an eye or even denying it. That's gallant. That was the first time I realized the extent of Johnny's hero worship for Dally Winston. Of all of us, Dally was the one I liked least. He didn't have Soda's understanding or dash or Two-Bit's humor or even Darry's Superman qualities. But I realized that these three appealed to me because they were like the heroes in the novels I read. Dally was real. I liked my books and clouds and sunsets. Dally was so real, he scared me. Johnny and I never went to the front of the church. You could see the front from the road, and sometimes farm kids rode their horses by on their way to the store. So we stayed in the very back, usually sitting on the steps and looking across the valley. We could see for miles. See the ribbon of highway and the small dots that were houses and cars. We couldn't watch the sunset since the back faced east, but I loved to look at the colors of the fields and the soft shadings of the horizon. One morning I woke up earlier than usual. Johnny and I slept huddled together for warmth. Dally had been right when he said that it would get cold where we were going. Being careful not to wake Johnny up, I went to sit on the steps and smoke a cigarette. The dawn was coming then. All the lower valley was covered with mist, and sometimes little pieces of it broke off and floated away in small clouds. The sky was lighter in the east, and the horizon was a thin golden line. The clouds changed from gray to pink, and the mist was touched with gold. There was a silent moment when everything held its breath, and then the sun rose. It was beautiful. Golly, Johnny's voice beside me made me jump. That sure was pretty. Yeah, I sighed, wishing I had some paint to do a picture with while the sight was still fresh in my mind. The mist was what was pretty, Johnny said. All gold and silver. I said, trying to blow a smoke ring. Too bad it couldn't stay like that all the time. Nothing gold can stay, I was remembering a poem I'd read once. What? Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay. Johnny was staring at me. Where'd you learn that? That was what I meant. Robert Frost wrote it. He meant more to it than I'm getting, though. I was trying to find the meaning the poet had in mind, but it eluded me. I always remembered it because I never quite got what he meant by it. You know, Johnny said slowly, I never noticed colors and clouds and stuff until you kept reminding me about them. It seems like they were never there before, he thought for a minute. Your family sure is funny. And what happens to be so funny about it? I asked stiffly. Johnny looked at me quickly. I didn't mean nothing. I meant, well, Soda kind of looks like your mother did, but he acts just exactly like your father. And Dairy is the spitting image of your father, but he ain't wild and laughing all the time like he was. He acts like your mother, and you don't act like either one. I know, I said. Well, I said, thinking this over, you ain't like any of the gang. I mean, I couldn't tell Two-Bit or Steve or even Dairy about the sunrise and clouds and stuff. I couldn't even remember that poem around them. I mean, they just don't dig. Just you and Soda Pop. And maybe Cherry Valance. Johnny shrugged. Yeah, he said with a sigh. I guess we're different. Shoot, I said, blowing a perfect smoke ring. Maybe they are. By the fifth day, I was so tired of bologna, I nearly got sick every time I looked at it. We had eaten all our candy bars in the first 2 days. I was dying for a Pepsi. I'm what you might call a Pepsi addict. I drink them like a fiend, and going for 5 days without one was about to kill me. Johnny promised to get some if we ran out of supplies and had to get some more, but that didn't help me right then. I was smoking a lot more there than I usually do. I guess because it was something to do. Although Johnny warned me that I would get sick smoking so much. We were careful with our cigarettes. If that old church ever caught fire, there'd be no stopping it. On the fifth day, I had read up to Sherman's Siege of Atlanta in Gone with the Wind, owed Johnny $150 from poker games, smoked 2 packs of Camels, and, as Johnny had predicted, got sick. I hadn't eaten anything all day, and smoking on an empty stomach doesn't make you feel great. I curled up in a corner to sleep off the smoke. I was just about asleep when I heard, as if from a great distance, a low, long whistle that went off in a sudden high note. I was too sleepy to pay any attention, although Johnny didn't have any reason to be whistling like that. He was sitting on the back steps trying to read Gone with the Wind. I had almost decided that I had dreamed the outside world and there was nothing real but bologna sandwiches and the Civil War and the old church and the mist in the valley. It seemed to me that I had always lived in the church, or maybe lived during the Civil War and had somehow got transplanted. That shows you what a wild imagination I have. A toe nudged me in the ribs. Glory, said a rough but familiar voice. He looks different with his hair like that. I rolled over and sat up, rubbing the sleep out of my eyes and yawning. Suddenly I blinked. Hey, Dally. Hey, pony boy, he grinned down at me. Or should I say Sleeping Beauty? I never thought I'd live to see the day when I would be so glad to see Dally Winston. But right then he meant one thing, contact with the outside world. And it suddenly became real and vital. How's Soda Pop? Are the Fuzz after us? Is Dairy all right? Do the boys know where we are? What?
Hold on, kid, Dally broke in. I can't answer everything at once. You two want to go get something to eat first? I skipped breakfast and I'm about starved.
You're starved?
Johnny was so indignant he nearly squeaked. I remembered the bologna.
Is it safe to go out? I asked eagerly.
Yep.
Dally searched his shirt pocket for a cigarette, and finding none, said,
Got a cancer stick, Johnny Cake?
Johnny tossed him a whole package.
The Fuzz won't be looking for you around here, Dally said, lighting up. They think you've lit out for Texas. I've got Buck's T-Bird parked down the road a little ways. Gosh almighty, boys, ain't you been eating anything?
Johnny looked startled.
Yeah, whatever gave you the idea we ain't?
Dally shook his head. You're both pale and you've lost weight. After this, get out in the sun more. You look like you've been through the mill.
I started to say, look who's talking, but decided it would be safer not to.
Dally needed a shave. A stubble of colorless beard covered his jaw, and he looked like he was the one who'd been sleeping in his clothes for a week instead of us. I knew he hadn't seen a barber in months, but it was safer not to get mouthy with Dally Winston.
Hey, Pony Boy, he fumbled with a piece of paper in his back pocket. I got a letter for you.
A letter? Who from?
The president, of course, stupid.
It's from Soda.
Soda Pop? I said, bewildered. But how did he know?
He came over to Buck's a couple of days ago for something and found that sweatshirt. I told him I didn't know where you were, but he didn't believe me. He gave me this letter and half his paycheck to give you. Kid, you ought to see Derry. He's taking this mighty hard.
I wasn't listening. I leaned back against the side of the church and read.
Pony Boy, well, I guess you got into some trouble, huh? Dary and me nearly went nuts when you ran out like that. Dary is awful sorry he hit you. You know he didn't mean it. And then you and Johnny turned up missing, and what with that dead kid in the park and Dally getting hauled into the station, well, it scared us something awful. The police came by to question us, and we told them as much as we could. I can't believe little old Johnny could kill somebody. I know Dally knows where you are, but you know him. He keeps his trap shut and won't tell me nothing. Dary hasn't got the slightest notion where you're at, and it is nearly killing him. I wish you'd come back and turn yourselves in, but I guess you can't since Johnny might get hurt. You sure are famous. You got a paragraph in the newspaper, even. Take care and say hi to Johnny for us. Soda Pop Curtis.
He could improve his spelling, I thought, after reading it through three or four times.
How come you got hauled in? I asked Dally.
Shoot, kid, he grinned wolfishly. Them boys at the station know me by now. I get hauled in for everything that happens on our turf. While I was there, I kind of let it slip that y'all were heading for Texas. So that's where they're looking.
He took a drag on his cigarette and cussed it good-naturedly for not being a cool. Johnny listened in admiration.
You sure can cuss good, Dally.
Sure can,
Dally agreed wholeheartedly, proud of his vocabulary.
But don't you kids get to picking on my bad habits.
He gave me a hard rub on the head.
Kid, I swear, it don't look like you with your hair all cut off. It used to look tough. You and Soda had the coolest looking hair in town.
I know, I said sourly. I look lousy, but don't rub it in.
Well, do y'all want something to eat or not?
Johnny and I leaped up.
You'd better believe it.
Gee, Johnny said wistfully,
it sure will be good to get into a car again.
Well, Dally drawled, I'll give you a ride for your money.
Dally always did like to drive fast, as if he didn't care whether he got where he was going or not. And we came down the red dirt road off Jay Mountain doing 85. I like fast driving, and Johnny was crazy about drag races, but we both got a little green around the gills when Dally took a corner on two wheels with the brakes screaming. Maybe it was because we hadn't been in a car for so long. We stopped at a Dairy Queen, and the first thing I got was a Pepsi. Johnny and I gorged on barbecue sandwiches and banana splits.
Glory!
Dallas said, amazed, watching us gulp the stuff down.
You don't need to make like every mouthful's your last. I got plenty of money. Take it easy. I don't want you getting sick on me. And I thought I was hungry.
Johnny merely ate faster. I didn't slow down until I got a headache.
I didn't tell y'all something,
Dally said, finishing his third hamburger.
The Socs and us are having all-out warfare all over the city. That kid you killed had plenty of friends, and all over town it's Soch against Greece. We can't walk alone at all. I started carrying a heater.
Dally, I said, frightened.
You kill people with heaters.
You kill them with switchblades, too, don't you, kid?
Dally said in a hard voice. Johnny gulped.
Don't worry, Dally went on. It ain't loaded. I ain't aiming to get picked up for murder.
but it sure does help a bluff. Tim Shepard's gang and our outfit are having it out with the socias tomorrow night at the vacant lot. We got hold of the president of one of their social clubs and had a war council. Yeah, Dally sighed, and I knew he was remembering New York. Just like the good old days. If they win, things go on as usual. If we do, they stay out of our territory, but good. Two-Bit got jumped a few days ago. Darry and me came along in time, but he wasn't having too much trouble. Two-Bit's a good fighter. Hey, I didn't tell you, we got us a spy.
A spy? Johnny looked up from his banana split. Who?
That good-looking broad I tried to pick up that night you killed the Soch. The redhead. Cherry, what's her name?
Chapter 6
Johnny gagged, and I almost dropped my hot fudge sundae.
Cherry?
We both said at the same time. The Soch?
Yeah, Dally said. She came over to the vacant lot the night Two-Bit was jumped. Shepard and some of his outfit and us were hanging around there when she drives up in her little old Stingray. That took a lot of nerve. Some of us was for jumping her then and there, her being the dead kid's girl and all. But Two-Bit stopped us. Man, next time I want a broad, I'll pick up my own kind.
Yeah, Johnny said slowly, and I wondered if, like me, he was remembering another voice, also tough and just deepened into manhood, saying, next time you want a broad, pick up your own kind. It gave me the creeps.
Dally was going on. She said she felt that the whole mess was her fault, which it is, and that she'd keep up with what was coming off with the Soches in the rumble and would testify that the Soches were drunk and looking for a fight and that you fought back in self-defense.
He gave a grim laugh.
That little gal sure does hate me. I offered to take her over to the dingo for a coke, and she said, no, thank you, and told me where I could go in very polite terms.
She was afraid of loving you, I thought. So, Cherry Valance, the cheerleader, Bob's girl, the Soch, was trying to help us. No, it wasn't Cherry the Soch who was helping us. It was Cherry the dreamer who watched sunsets and couldn't stand fights. It was hard to believe a Soch would help us, even a Soch that dug sunsets. Dally didn't notice. He had forgotten about it already.
Man, this place is out of it. What do they do for kicks around here, play checkers?
Dally surveyed the scene without interest.
I ain't never been in the country before. Have you two?
Johnny shook his head, but I said, Dad used to take us all hunting. I've been in the country before. How do you know about the church?
I got a cousin that lives around here somewheres. Tipped me off that it'd make a tough hideout in case of something. Hey, Pony Boy, I heard you was the best shot in the family.
Yeah, I said. Darry always got the most ducks, though, him and Dad. Soda and I goofed around too much, scared most of our game away. I couldn't tell Dally that I hated to shoot things. He'd think I was soft.
That was a good idea. I mean, cutting your hair and bleaching it. They printed your descriptions in the paper, but you sure wouldn't fit them now.
Johnny had been quietly finishing his fifth barbecue sandwich, but now he announced, we're going back and turn ourselves in. It was Dally's turn to gag. Then he swore a while. Then he turned to Johnny and demanded,
what?
I said, we're going back and turn ourselves in, Johnny repeated in a quiet voice. I was surprised, but not shocked. I had thought about turning ourselves in lots of times, but apparently the whole idea was a jolt to Dallas. I got a good chance of being let off easy, Johnny said desperately. And I didn't know if it was Dally he was trying to convince or himself. I ain't got no record with a fuzz, and it was self-defense. Pony Boy and Cherry can testify to that, and I don't aim to stay in that church all my life. That was quite a speech for Johnny. His big black eyes grew bigger than ever at the thought of going to the police station. For Johnny had a deathly fear of cops, but he went on. We won't tell that you helped us, Dally. And we'll give you back the gun and what's left of the money and say we hitchhiked back so you won't get into trouble, okay? Dally was chewing the corner of his ID card, which gave his age as 21 so he could buy liquor.
You sure you want to go back? Us greasers get it worse than anyone else.
Johnny nodded. I'm sure. It ain't fair for Pony Boy to have to stay up in that church with Dary and Soda worrying about him all the time. I don't guess... He swallowed and tried not to look eager. I don't guess my parents are worried about me or anything.
The boys are worried, Dally said in a matter-of-fact voice. Two-Bit was for going to Texas to hunt for you.
My parents, Johnny repeated doggedly. Did they ask about me?
No, snapped Dally. They didn't. Blast it, Johnny, what do they matter? Shoot, my old man don't give a hang whether I'm in jail or dead in a car wreck or drunk in the gutter. That don't bother me none.
Johnny didn't say anything, but he stared at the dashboard with such hurt bewilderment that I could have bawled. Dally cussed under his breath and nearly tore out the transmission of the T-Bird as we roared out of the Dairy Queen. I felt sorry for Dally. He meant it when he said he didn't care about his parents, but he and the rest of the gang knew Johnny cared and did everything they could to make it up to him. I don't know what it was about Johnny. Maybe that lost puppy look and those big scared eyes were what made everyone his big brother. But they couldn't, no matter how hard they tried, take the place of his parents. I thought about it for a minute. Dary and Soda Pop were my brothers, and I loved both of them, even if Dary did scare me. But not even Soda could take Mom and Dad's place. And they were my real brothers, not just sort of adopted ones. No wonder Johnny was hurt because his parents didn't want him. Dally could take it. Dally was of the breed that could take anything because he was hard and tough. And when he wasn't, he could turn hard and tough. Johnny was a good fighter and could play it cool, but he was sensitive. And that isn't a good way to be when you're a greaser.
Blast it, Johnny!
Dally growled as we flew along the red road.
Why didn't you think of turning yourself in 5 days ago? It would have saved a lot of trouble.
I was scared, Johnny said with conviction. I still am. He ran his finger down one of his short black sideburns. I guess we ruined our hair for nothing, Pony Boy.
I guess so.
I was glad we were going back. I was sick of that church. I didn't care if I was bald.
Dally was scowling, and from long and painful experience, I knew better than to talk to him when his eyes were blazing like that. I'd likely as not get clobbered over the head. That had happened before, just as it had happened to all the gang at one time or another. We rarely fought among ourselves. Dary was the unofficial leader since he kept his head best. Soda and Steve had been best friends since grade school and never fought. And Two-Bit was just too lazy to argue with anyone. Johnny kept his mouth shut too much to get into arguments, and nobody ever fought with Johnny. I kept my mouth shut, too. But Dally was a different matter. If something beefed him, he didn't keep quiet about it, and if you rubbed him the wrong way, look out. Not even Dary wanted to tangle with him. He was dangerous. Johnny just sat there and stared at his feet. He hated for any one of us to be mad at him. He looked awful sad. Dally glanced at him out of the corner of his eye. I looked out the window.
Johnny, Dally said in a pleading high voice, using a tone I'd never heard from him before.
Johnny, I ain't mad at you. I just don't want you to get hurt. You don't know what a few months in jail can do to you. Oh, blast it, Johnny.
He pushed his white blonde hair back out of his eyes. You get hardened in jail.
I don't want that to happen to you,
like it happened to me. I kept staring out the window at the rapidly passing scenery, but I felt my eyes getting round. Dally never talked like that, never. Dally didn't give a Yankee dime about anyone but himself, and he was cold and hard and mean. He never talked about his past or being in jail that way. If he talked about it at all, it was to brag.
and I suddenly thought of Dally in jail at the age of 10. Dally growing up in the streets. Would you rather have me living in hideouts for the rest of my life, always on the run? Johnny asked seriously. If Dally had said yes, Johnny would have gone back to the church without hesitation. He figured Dally knew more than he did, and Dally's word was law. But he never heard Dally's answer, for we had reached the top of Jay Mountain, and Dally suddenly slammed on the brakes and stared.
Oh, glory, he whispered. The church was on fire.
Let's go see what the deal is, I said, hopping out.
What for? Dally sounded irritated. Get back in here before I beat your head in.
I knew Dally would have to park the car and catch me before he could carry out his threat, and Johnny was already out and following me, so I figured I was safe. We could hear him cussing us out, but he wasn't mad enough to come after us. There was a crowd at the front of the church, mostly little kids, and I wondered how they'd gotten there so quickly. I tapped the nearest grown-up. What's going on?
Well, we don't know for sure, the man said with a good-natured grin. We were having a school picnic up here, and the first thing we knew, the place is burning up. Thank goodness this is a wet season, and the old thing is worthless anyway.
Then, to the kids, he shouted, Stand back, children. The firemen will be coming soon. I bet we started it, I said to Johnny. We must have dropped a lighted cigarette or something. About that time, a lady came running up.
Jerry, some of the kids are missing.
They're probably around here somewhere. You can't tell with all this excitement where they might be.
No, she shook her head. They've been missing for at least a half an hour. I thought they were climbing the hill.
Then we all froze. Faintly, just faintly, you could hear someone yelling, and it sounded like it was coming from inside the church. The woman went white.
I told them not to play in the church. I told them.
She looked like she was going to start screaming, so Jerry shook her.
I'll get them. Don't worry.
I started at a dead run for the church, and the man caught my arm.
I'll get them. You kids stay out.
I jerked loose and ran on. All I could think was, we started it. We started it. We started it. I wasn't about to go through that flaming door, so I slammed a big rock through a window and pulled myself in. It was a wonder I didn't cut myself to death now that I think about it. Hey, Pony Boy! I looked around, startled. I hadn't realized Johnny had been right behind me all the way. I took a deep breath and started coughing. The smoke filled my eyes and they started watering.
Is that guy coming?
Johnny shook his head.
The window stopped him. Too scared?
No, Johnny gave me a grin.
Too fat.
I couldn't laugh because I was scared I'd drown in the smoke. The roar and crackling was getting louder, and Johnny shouted the next question.
Where's the kids?
In the back, I guess,
I hollered, and we started stumbling through the church. I should be scared, I thought, with an odd, detached feeling. But I'm not. The cinders and embers began falling on us, stinging and smarting like ants. Suddenly, in the red glow and the haze, I remembered wondering what it was like in a burning ember, and I thought, now I know. It's a red hell. Why aren't I scared? We pushed open the door to the back room and found 4 or 5 little kids about 8 years old or younger huddled in a corner. One was screaming his head off, and Johnny yelled, Shut up! We're going to get you out. The kid looked surprised and quit hollering. I blinked myself. Johnny wasn't behaving at all like his old self. He looked over his shoulder and saw that the door was blocked by flames, then pushed open the window and tossed out the nearest kid. I caught one quick look at his face. It was red-marked from falling embers and sweat-streaked, but he grinned at me. He wasn't scared either. That was the only time I can think of when I saw him without that defeated, suspicious look in his eyes. He looked like he was having the time of his life. I picked up a kid, and he promptly bit me, but I leaned out the window and dropped him as gently as I could, being in a hurry like that. A crowd was there by that time. Dally was standing there, and when he saw me, he screamed, For Pete's sake, get out of there! That roof's gonna cave in any minute! Forget those blasted kids!
I didn't pay any attention, although pieces of the old roof were crashing down too close for comfort. I snatched up another kid, hoping he didn't bite, and dropped him without waiting to see if he landed okay or not. I was coughing so hard I could hardly stand up, and I wished I had time to take off Dally's jacket. It was hot. We dropped the last of the kids out as the front of the church started to crumble. Johnny shoved me toward the window. "Get out!" I leaped out the window and heard timber crashing and the flames roaring right behind me. I staggered, almost falling, coughing and sobbing for breath. Then I heard Johnny scream, and as I turned to go back for him, Dally swore at me and clubbed me across the back as hard as he could, and I went down into a peaceful darkness. When I came to, I was being bounced around, and I ached and smarted, and I wondered dimly where I was. I tried to think, but there was a high-pitched screaming going on, and I couldn't tell whether it was inside my head or out. Then I realized it was a siren. "The fuzz," I thought dully. "The cops have come for us." I tried to swallow a groan and wished wildly for soda. Someone with a wet, cold rag was gently sponging off my face, and a voice said, "I think he's coming around." I opened my eyes. It was dark. "I'm moving," I thought. "Are they taking me to jail?" "Where?" I said hoarsely, not able to get anything else out of my mouth. My throat was sore. I blinked at the stranger sitting beside me. But he wasn't a stranger. I'd seen him before.
"Take it easy, kid. You're in an ambulance."
"Where's Johnny?" I cried, frightened at being in this car with strangers. And Dallas?"
"They're in the other ambulance right behind us. Just calm down. You're going to be okay. You just passed out."
"I didn't either," I said in the bored, tough voice we reserved for strangers and cops. "Dallas hit me."
"How come?"
"Because your back was in flames, that's why."
I was surprised.
"It was?
Golly, I didn't feel it.
It don't hurt." "We put it out before you got burned. That jacket saved you from a bad burn and maybe saved your life. You just keeled over from smoke inhalation and a little shock. Of course, that slap on the back didn't help much."
I remembered who he was then. Jerry somebody or other who was too heavy to get in the window. He must be a school teacher, I thought.
"Are you taking us to the police station?"
I was still a little mixed up as to what was coming off.
"The police station?"
It was his turn to be surprised.
"What would we want to take you to the police station for? We're taking all three of you to the hospital."
I let his first remark slide by.
"Are Johnny and Dally all right?"
"Which one's which?"
"Johnny has black hair. Dally's the mean-looking one."
He studied his wedding ring.
"Maybe he's thinking about his wife," I thought.
I wished he'd say something.
"We think the toe-headed kid is going to be all right. He burned one arm pretty badly, though, trying to drag the other kid out the window."
"Johnny, well, I don't know about him. A piece of timber caught him across the back. He might have a broken back, and he was burned pretty severely. He passed out before he got to the window. They're giving him plasma now."
He must have seen the look on my face, because he hurriedly changed the subject.
"I swear, you three are the bravest kids I've seen in a long time. First you and the black-haired kid climbing in that window, and then the tough-looking kid going back in to save him. Mrs. O'Brien and I think you were sent straight from heaven, or are you just professional heroes or something?"
Sent from heaven? Had he gotten a good look at Dallas?
"No, we're greasers," I said. I was too worried and scared to appreciate the fact that he was trying to be funny.
"You're what?"
"Greasers, you know, like hoods, JDs. Johnny is wanted for murder, and Dallas has a record with the fuzz a mile long."
"Are you kidding me?"
Jerry stared at me as if he thought I was still in shock or something.
"I am not. Take me to town and you'll find out pretty quick."
"We're taking you to a hospital there anyway. The address card in your billfold said that was where you lived.
Your name's really Pony Boy?"
Yeah, even on my birth certificate.
And don't bug me about it.
I felt weak. Are the little kids okay?
Just fine. A little frightened, maybe. There were some short explosions right after y'all got out. Sounded just exactly like gunfire.
Gunfire. There went our gun, and gone with the wind.
Were we sent from heaven?
I started to laugh weakly. I guess that guy knew how close to hysterics I really was, for he talked to me in a low, soothing voice all the way to the hospital. I was sitting in the waiting room, waiting to hear how Dally and Johnny were. I had been checked over, and except for a few burns and a big bruise across my back, I was all right. I had watched them bring Dally and Johnny in on stretchers. Dally's eyes were closed, but when I spoke, he had tried to grin and had told me that if I ever did a stupid thing like that again, he'd beat the tar out of me. He was still swearing at me when they took him on in. Johnny was unconscious. I had been afraid to look at him, but I was relieved to see that his face wasn't burned. He just looked very pale and still and sort of sick. I would have cried at the sight of him so still, except I couldn't in front of people. Jerry Wood had stayed with me all the time. He kept thanking me for getting the kids out. He didn't seem to mind our being hoods. I told him the whole story, starting when Dallas and Johnny and I had met at the corner of Pickett and Sutton. I left out the part about the gun and our hitching a ride in the freight car. He was real nice about it and said that being heroes would help get us out of trouble, especially since it was self-defense and all. I was sitting there smoking a cigarette when Jerry came back in from making a phone call. He stared at me for a second.
You shouldn't be smoking.
I was startled.
How come?
I looked at my cigarette. It looked okay to me. I looked around for a no-smoking sign and couldn't find one.
How come?
Why, Jerry stammered. You're too young.
I am? I had never thought about it. Everyone in our neighborhood, even the girls, smoked. Except for Darry, who was too proud of his athletic health to risk a cigarette, we had all started smoking at an early age. Johnny had been smoking since he was 9. Steve started at 11, so no one thought it was unusual when I started. I was the weed fiend in my family. Soda smokes only to steady his nerves or when he wants to look tough.
Jerry simply sighed, then grinned.
There are some people here to see you. Claim to be your brothers or something?
I leaped up and ran for the door, but it was already open, and Soda had me in a bear hug and was swinging me around. I was so glad to see him I could have bawled. Finally, he set me down and looked at me. He pushed my hair back.
Oh, pony boy, your hair. Your tough, tough hair.
Then I saw Darry. He was leaning in the doorway, wearing his olive jeans and black T-shirt. He was still tall, broad-shouldered Darry, but his fists were jammed in his pockets and his eyes were pleading. I simply looked at him. He swallowed and said in a husky voice,
"Pony boy."
I let go of Soda and stood there for a minute. Darry didn't like me. He had driven me away that night. He had hit me. Darry hollered at me all the time. He didn't give a hang about me. Suddenly I realized, horrified, that Darry was crying. He didn't make a sound, but tears were running down his cheeks. I hadn't seen him cry in years, not even when Mom and Dad had been killed. I remembered the funeral. I had sobbed in spite of myself. Soda had broken down and bawled like a baby. But Darry had only stood there, his fists in his pockets, and that look on his face. The same helpless, pleading look that he was wearing now. In that second, what Soda and Dally and Two-Bit had been trying to tell me came through. Darry did care about me, maybe as much as he cared about Soda. And because he cared, he was trying too hard to make something of me. When he yelled, "Pony, where have you been all this time?" he meant, "Pony, you've scared me to death. Please be careful because I couldn't stand it if anything happened to you." Darry looked down and turned away silently. Suddenly I broke out of my daze.
Darry, I screamed. And the next thing I knew, I had him around the waist and was squeezing the daylights out of him. Darry, I said, I'm sorry. He was stroking my hair, and I could hear the sobs racking him as he fought to keep back the tears. Oh, Pony, I thought we'd lost you, like we did Mom and Dad. That was his silent fear, then, of losing another person he loved. I remembered how close he and Dad had been, and I wondered how I could ever have thought him hard and unfeeling. I listened to his heart pounding through his T-shirt and knew everything was going to be okay now. I had taken the long way around, but I was finally home to stay.
Chapter 7. Now there were three of us sitting in the waiting room, waiting to hear how Dally and Johnny were. Then the reporters and the police came. They asked too many questions too fast and got me mixed up. If you want to know the truth, I wasn't feeling real good in the first place. Kind of sick, really. And I'm scared of policemen anyway. The reporters fired one question right after another at me and got me so confused I didn't know what was coming off. Darry finally told them I wasn't in any shape to be yelled at so much, and they slowed down a little. Darry's kind of big. Soda Pop kept them in stitches. He'd grab one guy's press hat and another's camera and walk around interviewing the nurses and mimicking TV reporters. He tried to lift a policeman's gun and grinned so crazily when he was caught that the policeman had to grin too. Soda can make anyone grin. I managed to get hold of some hair grease and comb my hair back so that it looked a little better before they got any pictures. I'd die if I got my picture in the paper with my hair looking so lousy. Darry and Soda Pop were in the pictures, too. Jerry Wood told me that if Soda Pop and Darry hadn't been so good-looking, they wouldn't have taken so many. That was public appeal, he said. Soda was really getting a kick out of all this. I guess he would have enjoyed it more if it hadn't been so serious, but he couldn't resist anything that caused that much excitement. I swear, sometimes he reminds me of a colt, a long-legged Palomino colt that has to get his nose into everything. The reporter stared at him admiringly. I told you, he looks like a movie star, and he kind of radiates. Finally, even Soda Pop got tired of the reporters. He gets bored with the same old thing after a time. And stretching out on the long bench, he put his head in Darry's lap and went to sleep. I guess both of them were tired. It was late at night, and I knew they hadn't had much sleep during the week. Even while I was answering questions, I remembered that it had been only a few hours since I was sleeping off a smoke in the corner of the church. Already it was an unreal dream, and yet at the time, I couldn't have imagined any other world. Finally, the reporters started to leave, along with the police. One of them turned and asked, "What would you do right now if you could do anything you wanted?" I looked at him tiredly. "Take a bath." They thought that was pretty funny, but I meant it. I felt lousy. The hospital got real quiet after they left. The only noise was the nurse's soft footsteps and Soda's light breathing. Darry looked down at him and grinned half-heartedly. "He didn't get much sleep this week," he said softly. "He hardly slept at all." "Mmm," Soda said drowsily. "You didn't either." The nurses wouldn't tell us anything about Johnny and Dally, so Darry got hold of the doctor. The doctor told us that he would talk only to the family, but Darry finally got it through the guy's head that we were about as much family as Dally and Johnny had. Dally would be okay after 2 or 3 days in the hospital, he said. One arm was badly burned and would be scarred for the rest of his life, but he would have full use of it in a couple of weeks. Dally'll be okay, I thought. Dallas is always okay. He could take anything. It was Johnny I worried about. He was in critical condition. His back had been broken when that piece of timber fell on him. He was in severe shock and suffering from third-degree burns. They were doing everything they could to ease the pain, although since his back was broken, he couldn't even feel the burns below his waist. He kept calling for Dallas and Pony Boy. If he lived... if... please, no, I thought. Please, not if. The blood was draining from my face, and Derry put an arm across my shoulder and squeezed hard. Even if he lived, he'd be crippled for the rest of his life.
You wanted it straight, and you got it straight, the doctor said. Now go home and get some rest.
I was trembling. A pain was growing in my throat, and I wanted to cry. But greasers don't cry in front of strangers. Some of us never cry at all, like Dally and Two-Bit and Tim Shepard. They forgot how to at an early age. Johnny? Crippled for life? I'm dreaming, I thought in panic. I'm dreaming. I'll wake up at home or in the church, and everything'll be like it used to be. But I didn't believe myself. Even if Johnny did live, he'd be crippled and never play football or help us out in a rumble again. He'd have to stay in that house he hated, where he wasn't wanted, and things could never be like they used to be. I didn't trust myself to speak. If I said one word, the hard knot in my throat would swell and I'd be crying in spite of myself. I took a deep breath and kept my mouth shut. Soda was awake by then, and although he looked stony-faced as if he hadn't heard a word the doctor had said, his eyes were bleak and stunned. Serious reality has a hard time coming through to Soda, but when it does, it hits him hard. He looked like I felt when I had seen that black-haired Soche lying doubled up and still in the moonlight. Derry was rubbing the back of my head softly.
We'd better go home. We can't do anything here.
In our Ford, I was suddenly overcome by sleepiness. I leaned back and closed my eyes, and we were home before I knew it. Soda was shaking me gently.
Hey, Pony Boy, wake up. You still gotta get to the house.
I said sleepily, and lay down on the seat. I couldn't have gotten up to save my life. I could hear Soda and Derry, but as if from a great distance.
Oh, come on, Pony Boy, Soda pleaded, shaking me a little harder. We're sleepy, too.
I guess Derry was tired of fooling around, because he picked me up and carried me in.
He's getting mighty big to be carried, Soda said.
I wanted to tell him to shut up and let me sleep, but I only yawned.
He's sure lost a lot of weight, Derry said.
I thought sleepily that I should at least pull off my shoes, but I didn't. I went to sleep the minute Derry tossed me on the bed. I'd forgotten how soft a bed really was. I was the first one up the next morning. Soda must have pulled my shoes and shirt off for me. I was still wearing my jeans. He must have been too sleepy to undress himself, though. He lay stretched out beside me, fully clothed. I wiggled out from under his arm and pulled the blanket up over him, then went to take a shower. Asleep, he looked a lot younger than going on 17, but I had noticed that Johnny looked younger when he was asleep, too, so I figured everyone did. Maybe people are younger when they're asleep. After my shower, I put on some clean clothes and spent 5 minutes or so hunting for a hint of beard on my face and mourning over my hair. That bum haircut made my ears stick out. Derry was still asleep when I went into the kitchen to fix breakfast. The first one up has to fix breakfast, and the other two do the dishes. That's the rule around our house, and usually it's Derry who fixes breakfast and me and Soda who are left with the dishes. I hunted through the icebox and found some eggs. We all like our eggs done differently. I like them hard. Derry likes them in a bacon and tomato sandwich, and Soda Pop eats his with grape jelly. All three of us like chocolate cake for breakfast. Mom had never allowed it with ham and eggs, but Derry let Soda and me talk him into it. We really didn't have to twist his arm. Derry loves chocolate cake as much as we do. Soda Pop always makes sure there's some in the icebox every night, and if there isn't, he cooks one up real quick. I like Derry's cakes better. Soda Pop always puts too much sugar in the icing.
I don't see how he stands jelly and eggs and chocolate cake all at once, but he seems to like it. Darry drinks black coffee, and Soda Pop and I drink chocolate milk. We could have coffee if we wanted it, but we like chocolate milk. All three of us are crazy about chocolate stuff. Soda says if they ever make a chocolate cigarette, I'll have